And so this last week, I had the opportunity of going to Alpine Camp and Conference Center. They are on the back end of their summer camp programs. The great news with Alpine is that they have full summer camps with kids coming up from all over Southern California. And they've been doing a wonderful ministry program this year talking about the sweetness of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is sweet. So I was invited in by their director to come in and give their staff a little bit of an encouragement. If you don't know this, if you are working with students and kids for 10 hours a day, for 8 hours a week during the summer, and you're handling with a lot of different groups, you get kind of beat down after a while. And so you need a little bit of an encouragement. So he asked me to come on in, and I just did some reflecting as I walked around Alpine and thinking about the past season that this ministry has gone through. We got to sit in the dining room. I got to talk with the staff. Here is a picture of just some of their staff. And there's Micah. Pray for Micah and his family. They've picked up the responsibility of carrying this family, or this ministry, which is a family, forward. As I was doing some reflecting at my time, I was just thinking about Alpine. You know, when I was there, this was close to 20 years ago, initially, when I was at Alpine, and it was going through a difficult season in ministry. It was going through some hard times. It faced an extremely difficult season, and me and Sarah came in, and we got to work there for a few years, and we got to pick the ministry up just a little bit while we were there, but then we moved on to another ministry, and soon after we left, the ministry started to go through another difficult season. And it was a season where actually the former group that owned Alpine had to sell it in order to keep it alive. And a lot of people prayed, please let a Christian ministry come in and run this camp. And God was faithful, and God did. Now, this is one of the neat things. Back when I was right out of high school, I worked on the ropes course at Alpine, big tall trees and letting kids climb up the Centurion tree, which is a 100-foot tree that they would run and jump off and grab the trapeze. And if they didn't, that they would fall, but they had a rope on them. And so the rope would catch them. And I got to work on that course there. Well, at the time, when I was working on the course, there was this grand idea of we have this big idea, we're going to build a treehouse-like structure. Children are going to come and play. They're going to have a great, it was just one of those great ideas. They sketched it all out, and they put it forward to the directors at the time, and that was like 20 years ago. And everybody talked about it, and it was going to be great. However, it never manifested. It never came about. Part of that reason was because there were some hard things going on at the camp. There was a lot of gossip, a lot of competition, a lot of worries about finances, a lot of struggles there. Something that actually the camp now doesn't have to worry about because Micah and his team, they're just very practical. They didn't get involved in a lot of things that distract them. They just did some practical things, and the camp is thriving across the board because they're just doing exactly what Christ called them to do. My time was a little bit of a struggle to get that point across. Micah told me, he said, yeah, well, you know what? We found some drawings that were put back in, they were in a back room somewhere, and we looked at them, and we saw, hey, that's cool. That's great. So you know what they did? They just made some practical steps, and they moved on it. And so they built a whole new structure there for children, $250,000, sponsored by the government, on a Christian site and facility so they can run their children's education program, and they built this massive structure. And I was like, I remember talking about this thing a lot, and everybody had these ideas. Micah's idea was, well, let's just do it. And he just moved and he just did it. And it ended up happening, and 20 years later, they ended up seeing this idea, this dream through to the end, and that's because they just took the practical steps to make it happen. And that's because, say it with me, practical ministry is powerful ministry. You know, practical ministry is powerful ministry. Doing the practical day in and day out things is powerful ministry. Answering what God has put upon your heart and just moving forward with it is very, it's very powerful. A lot of times, you know, we have big grand dreams, we have big ideas, but we can forget about taking just the basic practical steps of what ministry is and seeing how God works. You know, they did this because they knew that their main goal was, we just want to love kids. We just want to give them things to play with, and we want to teach them the gospel. Keep it simple. So that's what stood out to me this last week. I got to spend some time with them, which was pretty wonderful. Now, if you remember a few weeks ago, I did talk about teaching children in a sermon I titled, Let's Talk About Children. And today, as we're continuing through our study in the book of Matthew, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 19, and we're going over another very short section where children are brought into the picture. Now, if you know me, you're going to be thinking to yourself, Jonathan talks a lot about children. And yes, I do. And that's because I've been in children and youth ministry for about 20 years in families. But also because I read my Bible and listen to my Bible a lot more now than what I ever have before and ever in my life. And what comes across is God's heart for innocence, God's heart for light, God's heart for beauty. And so God has placed it in my heart and given me a special area in my heart to make sure that we keep that standard high and we echo the beauty of God's light and we protect our mind and we protect our heart. That's why this year's VBS program is called Guardians of the Imagination. Okay, quick Bible fact. Do you know the Greek word for imagination? Anybody know it? The Greek word for imagination. It's called fantasia. Ah, you all get it, right? Fantasia, that's the Greek word for imagination. Now, here's a follow-up. How many times in the Bible is either Greek or Hebrew the word for imagination used? Anybody know? Anybody know? Okay, ready? Zero. Zero. Because the imagination is what is made up by man. According to God, you have been made with one mind, one heart, and one soul. And you are to dedicate your whole heart, mind, and soul to him. Sometimes we create these imaginary spaces for us, and we feel safe in them, but that is not how God designed us. Whatever goes into your mind stays in the mind, okay? Whatever goes in there stays in there. So today, I've titled this sermon, as we prepare for our VBS program and reading through Matthew, we're going to talk about God's heart for teaching children, because when you teach children, you teach yourself. So, titled today's sermon, Teach the Children. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you. You are so good, we can't even explain. You have been so good to this church for over 100 years. We have walked through so many different seasons, Lord. People in this church come from all different walks of life, but your word remains true. I pray that our church, as it goes forward, it will never lose sight of the power of teaching your word simply, stepping away from the distractions and the noise of the world, and making sure that our mind is focused and staying on the simple and pure truth of your word, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, if you will, please open with me. You'll be in Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to start off in verse 13. Now, we're just going to go through a couple verses, and I'm going to reference some other verses within Scripture. So let's begin in verse 13. It says, "Then the children were brought to him, that he may lay his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked the people." So Jesus was a revolutionary teacher. He had thousands of followers, and he was offering deep insight into Scripture. But for the culture of the time, the children were not considered revolutionary. They weren't revolutionary like people. They were actually unintelligent, and so they were thought as not important. So when the people started to bring their children to this revolutionary teacher, the disciples stood and opposed the people. Why? Because they thought Jesus is too important for the children. He is too deep of a thinker for the children. He is too grand for the children. This man is important. People, stop bringing your children to Jesus. Now keep in mind what it says here. The disciples rebuked the people that were bringing their children to Jesus. This just highlights that you can be a disciple of Jesus and not like children. Okay? There were. This is proof of it. Okay? And I completely understand that. You don't enter children's ministry and do things with children because it's the most grand position to be in. Okay? Young children, they're loud. They can be disruptive. They can be smelly. They are socially abnormal creatures. This is where sometimes in the congregation someone would yell, "Amen." Amen. Which is why those who tend to work with children may also come across as a bit socially abnormal at times. Okay? Let's be honest. You work with kids, sometimes it's like, what in the world? Why would you do that? Children can be hard to be around because they are like untrained puppies. They're cute from a distance and behind the cage. But as soon as you have to take care of it for a long time, you realize, I don't know if this was a good idea. I had a volunteer children's leader once. He was a great guy. I mean, phenomenal, excellent man. Both him and his wife, highly, highly intelligent. They both worked in aerospace down in Orange County. They would go out to the oil rigs and they would go into just highly mathematical engineer type, wonderful. He was trying to actually become an FBI agent. And he would volunteer once a week to be in the children's ministry. He was a very nice gentleman and his wife was incredibly sweet. They were the types that liked everything to be in order. They were very strict with their lives. They were very disciplined. They loved everything to be in order. And for that reason, they were wonderful ministry workers. However, we had one young girl who had come into the ministry. And in Orange County, there's a lot going on. And so she would be dropped off by her parents. And sometimes that's kind of what we call the drop-off ministry. Parents drive up, drop off their kids, plug in their Jesus, and then they drive away. I refer to it as like fast food ministry. Drop off your kids, drive away, come back, pick them up. You guys are going to program them to love Jesus, right? That's the mentality, sadly, that exists in a lot of places. But there are a lot of things going on. People approach ministry that way. So people live all kinds of busy lives, experiencing all kinds of things that there are to experience. But sadly, the church just becomes another one of those common momentary or weekly experiences, along with sports programs and homeschooling and school events and everything else. Church is just another checkbox on the list. So anyway, we had this young girl who was dropped off, and if you spend time with kids who live in that system, sometimes you get them where they get dropped off at the church and they don't want to be there. They want to be at home. They want to be with their family. They don't just want to be in another environment with other people. So she was having a very difficult time. She didn't want to be there. And you could tell that she didn't want to be there because she was very feisty. She didn't want to listen to anybody. Well, one night, she had a fit and ended up hitting the gentleman that I was speaking about, the aerospace engineer. It took him by complete surprise. Why would a child do that? That is not in order. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "I didn't sign up for this." See, he had a fantasy idea in his head of what ministry was. He had this fantasy idea that him and his wife were going to come around and they'd have a sweet time together, just teaching the kids the Bible stories, getting the warm and fuzzy feelings about being around the children, and then they would go home back to their life. He wasn't anticipating dealing with difficult, hard situations with children. And so, when the sinful behavior of life actually showed up, he had no capacity to navigate the situation. He couldn't practice the fruit of the Spirit. He's a believer in Jesus, he wanted to serve Jesus, but then all of a sudden the situation arose, and he had no ability to practice the fruit of the Spirit, and so he walked away. Now, a few weeks later, a couple months actually, he took a break, and he reflected upon the mission of our ministry. And he decided to return. And it was a growing experience for him. He learned that ministry is not always perfect. Oftentimes, actually all of the time, good ministry is extremely messy because people are messy, and messy people's children are extra messy. Children will push you to your limits. They will test your reliance on the Holy Spirit. Because kindness, love, patience, and faithfulness are not natural parts of the human heart. And those who are raising kids know that very well. Those who aren't, you may have forgotten exactly how hard it is to live your life for somebody else day in and day out. From the time that you wake up at 5:30, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, knowing that you are on call, making sure that the little one is fed, cared for, protected, safe, being taught, growing, learning. You can forget exactly how hard that is, and not understand exactly what does it mean to give your entire life to the well-being of a little sinful soul. You gain the experience often when you care for children about God's love and his patience for us, because you realize, you know what? I'm a little sinful soul myself. God wants light and purity and good things in my life. And as I care for the children, I kind of reflect on, you know what? I'm kind of a lot like that one. I throw temper tantrums. Maybe I've learned to control my physical actions, but the temper tantrums just as strong in my mind and my heart with the Lord. Caring for children is not always fun. But what did our God and Savior say? What did our Lord say about children? But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Jesus is using children here as an illustration for dependency and for their innocent-like nature. Yes, children can be messy. However, the bonds that we form with children as we watch them grow and bring grow in the Lord and bring about those feelings, bring about a deep understanding of who the Lord is. It brings about a deep understanding of the sweetness of life. Remember when you had little children, or if you have little children now, you bring little children into your life, and all of a sudden you are on guard with everything that they watch, everything that they listen to, everything that surrounds them, every interaction that they have with another adult, because you don't want their little conscience to be violated or seared by the darkness of this world. Amen? Have you been there? Yeah. And it's like you spiritually wake up to the level of that Jesus wants us to think about, is we need to be on guard, not just with them, but when you tap into that place, and you realize we need to be on guard with what goes on in our minds, just like we are on guard with children. The children, the caring for the children, help return us to that standard or that ethic that we should always be living at. And when we form that bond with them and we watch them grow year after year after year, we watch them grow in maturity and wisdom of the Lord, it's a bond that can't be replaced by any amount of money, by any amount of success, any type of title, or any kind of level of prestige, that your connection with helping just another little soul grow is the greatest reward you will ever experience in this life. It's like God designed us to shepherd each other. Amen? Doesn't that sound like the scriptures? That's our purpose, to care for one another. The heart expression of worship to God is dependency. We are dependent upon a heavenly Father. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, God wants us to be dependent upon him, just as a child is dependent upon their father. Then when we grow up in our understanding and faith, we aren't just supposed to be comfortable with where we're at, thinking that we've figured this God thing out. We haven't figured the Father out all the way. Now, God has made his nature, his character, known to us in the person of Jesus. So we know God because we know Jesus. We know who we're supposed to be like. But as we journey through life, we need to be careful that we don't turn our faith into just a comfortable, rigid, religious tradition that then gets in way with a deep, genuine, dependent relationship upon our Heavenly Father. We need to continually grow deeper in our dependency, in our relationship, in our knowledge of Him, knowing that the heart of God is to place His hand upon the children. Do you know that God has His hand upon you? He has His hand upon your life. We all have crazy backgrounds. We all have gone through a lot of different things. We all come from different positions of life. But be sure of this, that we serve a personal God. He knows your struggles. He knows what you deal with. And the heart of Jesus is to place His hands upon the children and to care for them. You are never, never too old to not be thought of as a child of God with His hand upon your life. And we need to know that. We are to rest completely upon Him. So as we go on this morning, because that's pretty much the section, because Jesus placed His hands on the children and He went away, I want to go back to the beginning of Scripture. And I want to remind us of God's heart, going back to when God called the children, the people of Israel, out. He called them His children. He looked down on earth and He said, I'm going to form a people on this earth who are going to represent my name. They're going to be my chosen people. They're going to be my elect people group. They're going to be the ones who will represent my name on the earth to the other nations. They were primitive, tribal. They were untrained. They were scared, and they were lost in the wilderness. That sounds like the children of today, and no matter how successful you've been inside your heart, you might be scared, lost in the wilderness, primitive in your thinking, tribal in some ways, carnal in some ways. Know that God's voice is the same for all of His people. And this is the instruction that He gave them. This is called the Shema. I've shared this before with our church, but I think it's so important we return to this. Let's go ahead and read this together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. God's heart from the beginning has been to teach His creation one simple, singular truth. One truth, that you are to commit your whole life to Him and His commands. That's been the message from the very beginning, from ancient times. It didn't change. It didn't change from Old Testament to New Testament. The only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the only difference between those is that it has been more revealed specifically in the character of Jesus. Commit your whole life to Jesus. So how do you do this? From the minute that you wake up, from when you go to bed, when you walk along the path, you are to love Him and be dependent upon Him. Evangelism ministry is a wonderful thing. How many have gone to a crusade before, been a part of a camp experience where you heard a gospel? You go to a big event, you go to a big chapel service, you hear the gospel. Evangelism ministry is a wonderful thing. But I read something that a pastor wrote last week, and it truly spoke to my heart. In his article, he talked about how his church had just taken a group of kids to camp. And after years of dedications, baptisms, he noticed a pattern. That summer camps offered a great moment for the kids. It was a great moment away from the distractions of the world. It was a wonderful week to spend focused on the light of the Lord. But without the daily support of the local church and home, that moment, that connection of the Lord, quickly fades with a lot of his students. And so he wrote about the importance of the local church making sure that you continue to check in with the kids and with the moms and the dads, that it is not just about a one-time momentary evangelistic experience, but it is about a daily pattern of life from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed. I've experienced this. Working 10 years in camp ministry, I did a lot of great one-time-a-year experiences for a ton of kids. Now, all throughout summer, I did a lot of one-time experiences over and over and over and over again. But as I stepped away from the evangelical ministry and I stepped into a local church, the Lord opened up my mind and showed me there's a big difference between proclaiming a one-time gospel message and a steady, faithful diet of being there for those in your local community. We have a problem in our culture. The problem is we are so attracted to the idea of celebrity pastor and the person who writes the new book or the new idea that comes out. Everybody's always chasing the new name or the new book. The thing that we push off to the side and we don't think about is how incredibly important the week-to-week faithfulness is of making sure that those within our community grow in the light of the Lord. As I developed relationships with families, and then also as I was raising my own kids, my mind shifted from the importance of being strongly evangelical in my approach to ministry to making sure that that's followed up with strong education and teaching and foundation and faithfulness in character. I realized we do need to do big ministry events. Big ministry events are fun. It reaches out to people. Big ministry events are exciting and it can kind of bring us the warm and fuzzies. But what is most important is that the week to week is steady and stable and consistent. It's because Jesus is more than a once a year event, or Jesus is more than just a weekly service. Jesus is alive. And it is a day in, day out relationship from the time you wake up until the time that you go to bed. This is what's truly meant in Proverbs, where the scriptures say, train a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Early followers of Jesus were called people of the way. The phrase communicates that we don't just do religious traditions. It's a way of life. It's everything that we do. When we do events or when we do weekly gatherings, we aren't trying to preserve a traditional system or trying to preserve a traditional pattern. The reason why we come together on church on Sunday morning is to remind ourselves about what life is supposed to be like day in and day out. So what we do when we come here isn't the end of our faith. This actually, when we come together on Sunday morning, this is the hoorah gathering for the week that's ahead. You come here to be reinvigorated, to be reminded, and say, now go take this and live it out every single day. And by the way, I'm going to do that again next week with you. But your faith is not lived out in where you go to church on Sunday morning. Your faith is, how do you live Monday through Saturday morning tonight? That was God's heart, that the whole life is consumed by his spirit, by his nature, by his word. This is why how we must truly train our children in the way that they should go. Don't train your children just to go to church. There's a big difference between raising children in the church and then raising children in Christ. Sometimes you can raise children in the church and they can get used to going to a building and just making sure that they do the building thing once a week. Raising children in Christ means from morning to night that you're teaching them to follow the way of Jesus and make him their way of life. Every decision, every thought, everything that they do is to be focused and come from a true relationship with Jesus in obedience to his word. So, in the New Testament, we have this instruction that Paul is speaking to Timothy or reminding him of. Why was Timothy such a faithful follower of Jesus? Why was Timothy a great pastor that Paul was going to pass ministry down to? Why did Paul take Timothy alongside him? He says, because of this, and he's warning him about false teachers. He's warning him about false ideas. And he says, from Timothy, from childhood, you have been taught the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And that's right living. That Timothy, from childhood, he wasn't taught denominational distinctives. Timothy, from childhood, was not taught Western legal theory or philosophical ideas about church. From childhood, Timothy wasn't taught you got to stay with a Calvary chapel. From childhood, Timothy wasn't taught that you have to go to a Baptist church. From childhood, Timothy was taught the sacred writings. He was taught the Word of God, the foundation for all things, because it's from the Word of God that teaches us. That's where we learn about reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Our early childhood years have a profound impact on the foundation of our life. This is why those who want to have a strong cultural impact, they want to make a change in a community. That's why they spend so much time on the children. This is why when we see the LGBTQ movements and all the propaganda that goes out in front of our children's faces, why is it going out to young children? Because they know if you capture the mind at a young age, you have them for life. This has been known for years. The early reformers, when they reformed the church, Martin Luther, do you know one of the first things that he established? First thing that he established was children and family ministries. Because he understood you need to teach them at a young age the truth of God's word. Because the enemy and the world is going to try to strip it away from them and fill their minds with a bunch of garbage. We get connected to our early childhood teaching. This is why the phrase, when I grew up, you ever hear that phrase? Hey, when I grew up, it was like this. It wasn't like that. This last week, we watched the Chronicles of Narnia. If you were here on Wednesday night program where we had barbecue, we watched the Chronicles of Narnia. And I was talking with Dave and Joy Hatch. And they were saying, have you ever seen the older ones? And I said, no, I've only seen this one, you know, the one that Disney put together. And they're like, oh, no, the other ones are way better. Because when we grew up, what we were familiar with is way better than what you grew up with and what you were familiar with. Okay? It's always like that. Whatever we grow up with becomes the thing that is near and dear to our heart. Don't you guys know that children who are raised in the 90s have the best childhood experience of everybody else? And I'm sure that everybody would disagree and we could debate. And I'm sure, you know, our early years form us, they shape us. What formed and shaped you? Was it a strict, structured household where expressing feelings and emotions were seen as bad or weak? Where you didn't talk about the hard realities of life and everything was just like a pretend fantasy? Where it was strict and was structured, but nothing seemed real. There was no real heart connection. Under the surface, it was just nothing but strict control. Or did you grow up in a house that was chaotic, just filled with chaos, where there were no rules, no order to follow, no stability whatsoever? It was all about being free and rebellion, which led to no true family structure or foundation. Everybody went off their kind of own direction. That was a lot like my childhood. My childhood was constant instability, constantly being unstable. No matter what you were raised in or what impacts it had on your life or what you think about your early childhood years, understand that your early childhood, your childhood years, the way that you were raised is not the standard. The Word of God is the standard. Amen? We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different expressions and many different generations. My generation is not better than any other generation. I would kind of argue there are some older generations I am jealous of. But none of our teaching is the standard. The Word of God is the standard. This next generation going forward is going to be very different than any generation that has existed before it. Those who are raising kids in Alpha Generation, those are the young ones who were born 2013 and beyond. It's, you know, actually now they're almost teenagers, which kind of blows my mind. Or the new generation, it's going to be very different going forward. There's going to be no pattern of life that can predict what we're getting ready to step into. I'm a bit of a futurist. I love to think about the future. And it was about 10 years ago with my own children, I started thinking about the world that they were going to grow up in. And I started listening to all the changes, all the technological advances, all the things that were coming down the pipeline. And I began making sure that they were ready for it. Because I knew that it was going to be chaos. I knew that it was going to be insanity. God gave me a vision to protect their mind. So I got to work. Thing is the world that we send today is exactly what they predicted 10 years ago. The things, they weren't fantasy ideas. It's not a sci-fi idea. The changes that are happening in our culture today and what they predict what's going to be changing over just the next 2 to 3 years by the time 2030, it's going to upend everything from the way that we go about church, the way we go about education, the way we go about healthcare, the way we go about finances. We're getting ready to step into a lot of changes. But the human heart and mind is more destroyed now than ever before. There is no structure. There are so many messages out there that our kids have to fight day in and day out with the destruction of the family unit, with the mixed messages of maybe the moral virtue of our world being mixed with the fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Word of God. We have to be intentional with teaching our children the clear message of the gospel. But this is what we can take confidence in. No matter how much the world is going to change, because change is going to happen, change happens, things do change, we have nothing to fear. Because going back to the Shema at the very beginning, what was God's command for mankind? You think that they lived a little bit differently than what we did in ancient times? They sure did, but they had one stable message, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then Jesus said, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That message never changes. That's because the Lord is faithful. I started today with kind of the story of the camp, the little structure there. I was really taken back by that. I was like, wow, Lord. 20 years later, I remember seeing this little sketch. I remember all this fighting, all this discourse, all of that. And you were still faithful, that you planted an idea in somebody's head at one point, and 20 years later, through a new generation, it actually came to fruition. How cool is that? Do you know that happens all the time? We're part of a church that goes back over 100 years. Who knows the many different ideas that people had? You know that our church was a Sunday school when it began? It was a Sunday school. And the pews that were donated here were donated by Arthur Gregory. Arthur Gregory was also responsible for starting, for donating land to the Thousand Pines Christian Camp. Who knew? Years later, I get taken back so much by just the consistent faithfulness of God's word and the interconnection of his people working in many different groups to bring about just continued goodness into new realities and new generations. So, no matter how different we are from one generation to another, we do one thing consistently. We teach the children, and we proclaim the truth of Jesus, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the living Word, and the Word of God teaches us to live the right way. I'm going to end with this, and then I'm just going to end with a prayer today, and we're going to get ready to have a good time with Tom and Kathy. I'm going to end with this. As we get into our VBS week, and our sanctuary gets filled with loud music and balloons and all kinds of sweets and chaos and different things with the kids, understand this, that when we do this, we do it with a high level of intention at our church that the children will understand that Jesus is the Word of God. They go home with a very detailed message of the gospel that they can share with their parents, but we are going to be a community that's just going to create incredible foundational childhood memories for these kids that they'll be able to stand on for the rest of their life. Because when you do children's ministry, you don't do it for the children. You do it for who they are when they're adults. You do it for who they're going to be. You do it for the battle that they're getting ready to face. And I'm telling you, they're getting ready to face a pretty wild battle. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you grew up in a little bit of a broken upbringing. Maybe your parents weren't the best teachers of the word. That's okay. Because where they dropped the ball, Jesus picks it up. Jesus can step into any kind of area in your life and help to transform your mind. This is why they call those who follow Jesus born again believers. It's like you have a new foundation, a new way to understand life. As we go forward, let's remember to be dependent upon Jesus, to remember that we have a heavenly Father, and to pray for the children in our community. They have a long life ahead of them. May they always remember Twin Peaks Community Church as being a safe place that taught the truth of God's word, and it was a place where they heard the name of Jesus, and he spoke light into their life. Be careful also about becoming so serious about your faith that you miss out on the joy of the Lord. God is one to be revered. He's one to be respected. He is one that we bow down and we give our whole heart to. But be so serious about your reverence for the Lord that you're also serious about his joy. And you take his joy seriously. So, that's my prayer for us this week. When we teach children about the Word of God, we end up teaching ourselves. Do some reflection. Spend some time in prayer. And if you're helping out with our VBS program this week, engage with it. Have fun with it. Stop by and say hi. Help our little VBS workers out. And hopefully by next Sunday, we'll have a ton of pictures. We're going to be able to share with you the ministry that's going to be happening in our room, our little community program. We're going to share about all the sweet moments, all the Jesus moments that we've had, and about the light that's going home to the families. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, you are good. I pray that in this generation, in the time that we live, that you raise up laborers for the gospel, knowing that laboring, Lord, is difficult. It's hard work. Ministry requires labor. It's intense. It's day in and day out. It's a focus of mind and body and heart and soul. I pray that our church will just continue to move forward in the labor that we need to do in the day that we live and in the community that you've given us. Help us reflect the light of your word, to be filled with your spirit, to be loving and kind, but to be strong proclaimers of your gospel truth and to be faithful in what you've given us to do. In Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen.